Coming up on this episode of The Social Hour, Eventbrite wants to give you perks, and Twitter wants to take away your favorites, or at least call them something else. Plus, Yahoo bought Stamped. What does it mean? And a tip for email overload. Plus, Uber for private jets. What? All that and more next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 83, recorded Friday, October 6th, 2012. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you're a social media manager at a large enterprise, gain insight and engage in social media in a systematic way with Social Media Solutions from SAP. Learn more at sap.com/twit. And by Ford, featuring available sync. Now you can control your media player with simple voice commands. Enjoy your drive while you easily search and listen to your favorite songs. Check it out on the 2012 Ford Focus and at ford.com/technology. And by the new Squarespace. Squarespace introduces a new content management system, making it faster and easier to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio, plus more than 50 new features, including mobile-responsive designs. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SOCIALHOUR10. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Social Hour from Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, California. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I am back home after a little bit of travel and back in my little studio. And it's nice to see you, Sarah. And in a couple of weeks, I will be in your studio and I cannot wait.
I can't either. For anybody who hasn't been following along, Amber and I are getting closer and closer to actually meeting in real life for the very first time. We've been doing shows together literally for years.
Yes.
And have never actually met. And I you know, it's not like I feel like I don't know you or anything. But
well,
it's kind
it's
of exciting.
Like, I had an experience recently where I was at a conference in Halifax, and I obviously don't know him as well, but Alexis Ohanian was speaking there. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. And I met him, and the first time I met him, he's like 6'5", Sarah. I couldn't believe it. You know, you imagine meeting someone and kind of what height they are because you've seen pictures of them. So I hope that you're not that tall, or maybe it would go the other way.
Oh,
I don't know.
I wish I was even 5'5". Wouldn't that be nice? I promise you, I am the opposite of Alexis. I didn't know he was that tall either.
He's so tall. Yeah, he's really, really, really tall.
It's funny. It's funny how that happens because you just, you know, it's a combination of, you know, somebody's, I don't know, headshot. You hear their voice. You get a little bit of a sense of a personality if you're following them on various social networks, that sort of thing. So you kind of do get an idea about a person. It's almost like reading a book, right, about a character.
Exactly.
And then, you know, the film version or the real life version, you're like, oh, my gosh, you're like a
I know, it's
giant.
A different experience, right? Because, yeah, you always anticipate kind of, you know, what that person is going to look like exactly, and maybe they look different. And, yeah, he's really tall, really handsome. I didn't, I of course, expected that part. But, it was a bit of a surprise to me. So when we meet Sarah, I think the good news is we're closer to the same height.
Yes, I exactly. I think overall, the one thing that I get whenever I meet people who, you know, I've had a friendship with or, you know, we know each other virtually, they say, oh, you look so much taller on TV. I say, how tall do I look? I mean, I'd love to look. Apparently, I'm giving off the impression that I'm a tall person, which is great because it's just simply not true. But you already know that, so you know what to expect.
Yes. Lots of short men in TV, that's all I'll say.
Exactly. So let's get right into some of the top stories on the social roster this week. Oh, hello. The first one is Eventbrite, which is, this is, Amber, you're familiar with Eventbrite, I know, because it's sort of a way to create, well,
you're creating an event, but you're creating a way for people to say, I'm going to come to the event. If you're going to charge for the event, it's a way to be able to process tickets. If you've got 100 tickets and 100 seats that you're looking to fill, and they're $20 each, Eventbrite would be an easy way to put that all together. It doesn't have to be something that's to pay for, but it's almost like an invitation system that can also process payments. And what Eventbrite, apparently, if I understand correctly, is doing is partnering with a few other social services, certainly services that are pretty hot right now. Uber, which is the black car service, now getting into mm-hmm. the taxi market in various cities around North America and Europe. Hotel Tonight, I've talked about that on I-5 in the past, which is the service to help you get a hotel last minute with some really good deals, some nice places, because they want to fill their beds. Rent the Runway, which is a service to, if I got to go to a fancy gala because Amber had an extra ticket and I had nothing to wear, and I'm not the kind of person who can just go to Neiman Marcus and pick up a $3,000 dress, maybe I could rent something that's pretty pretty special and pricey for a much more reasonable rate, because I really only need it for 8 hours type thing. The idea is that if you use Eventbrite, it's almost as if they will have their own perks, almost in the way that Clout has perks. Now, of course, this is not Eventbrite saying, okay, we're going to start rating you as a person who goes to events, but more of a, if you're using the service regularly, then you get points for being part of the system. And if you get enough points, maybe you get a free ride from point A to point B on Uber, or you get $40 off your next hotel and Hotel Tonight, that sort of thing. So in a way, I think, gosh, you know, I don't feel like I'm using Eventbrite enough to make much use of this. But then again, I'm not throwing a lot of events. So I think for certain people, particularly people in the social media space who are organizing maybe meetups and that sort of thing, this is a really good perk.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I've noticed more and more that there's so much competition out there for events. Everybody I know is either running an event or trying to organize an event or speaking at an event. So I think when you have perks like this, it makes a lot of sense for event organizers. So the idea that you could offer up those perks potentially to people who are signing up, who want to attend the event, it just is that added incentive for them to want to come. So I like this a lot more than when we talked last week about Clout and how they were offering incentives for certain people who would have their little Clout card. I think this makes a lot more sense as far as the types of perks. You know, it just makes sense for hotels and the car service, and even, like you said, Rent the Runway for being able to get a dress or some type of designer outfit to wear to a special evening.
Yeah, it's a good call. I mean, kudos to Eventbrite for, I don't know, getting a little creative with not only cool services, because I think all of the brand recognition for Uber, Hotel Tonight, and Rent the Runway, they'll do very different things, but they are services that are hot right now. They're new, well, new-ish, new enough to seem like modern-gen apps and services, that it makes Eventbrite, which is definitely not necessarily the coolest service that comes to mind when I'm trying to impress somebody, make it a little bit cooler, and then clearly gives you an incentive to keep using the service. I mean, if I have a dinner party and I want to, well, it would have to be a pretty big dinner party for me to go on to paperless post or something. But if I wanted to organize something and be able to invite a lot of people and I don't know, maybe I'm going to organize some sort of a charity event or something. It makes a lot more sense for me to use Eventbrite just because it's a good service. But then also I might get a little something back for my time and my effort.
And the discounts are pretty good. I mean, it's not as though you just get $5 off for some of the services. I know with Rent the Runway, for example, I think it's about approximately $25 off a dress that you may order there. So it's pretty decent as far as the specials. Now, Sarah, I think we've talked about this next story before, not the story itself, but about the service that was acquired by Yahoo. I think we mentioned Stamped at some point on the Social Hour, basically an app that allows you to recommend and review certain things. I actually really liked Stamped. I thought it worked well. The whole user experience was great. And there was news today that Marissa Meyer has made this one of her first Yahoo acquisitions. And she doesn't plan, as far as I can tell from the article on Mashable, to continue with the service, but instead really is acquiring the talent, the team who has put together this app, including some past employees from Google.
Yeah, in fact, it sounds like it's more of Meyer saying, one of the co-founders, Robbie Stein, worked with Marissa Meyer at Google, so they probably have at least enough of a working relationship for her to say, this is a really good team. It's unfortunate, yeah, as you mentioned, Amber, and we definitely did talk about Stamped in the past on the show because it was sort of like, this is this cool thing that just a quick refresher for anybody who's like, I don't know what Stamped is. It was a little bit of a, almost like a check-in thing, but more of a, I liked this type of restaurant, I liked this movie. It was a little bit more leaving a stamp on various things that you might be doing or experiencing all over the place. I hope that's a decent way to describe it. I'll show you one of my archived stamps in a few. But it launched as an iPhone app almost a year ago, so not quite a year ago. And it's always disappointing to me when I hear, okay, well, Yahoo acquired the team. That's great. Obviously, they're good at what they do. They had a nice app, blah, blah, blah. But then now the app goes away. And if you go to stamp.com site, they say, hey, we've been acquired by Yahoo. Isn't this great news? In fact, our team is excited to announce we've been acquired by Yahoo. For more about the acquisition, click here. That's going to be a press release. Don't need to read that. And then they say, are you a Stamped user? Download a PDF copy of all your stamps. Now, this is the right thing to do, of course. And I was not enough of a Stamped user to feel like I put in so much effort that now all I have is a crappy PDF to show for it. But if I open up my PDF, I mean, this is not exactly the same as having an app that's working. Here was my little, you know, profile page. My info is I had 501 followers. I don't know who those people are, but they're certainly not going to follow me on Stamped anymore. I was only following one person. That was probably MG. And I went ahead and, for example, reviewed I made a film stamp. I reviewed the movie Drive, and I said it was a badass movie. Sounds like something I would say. But that's sort of the, you know, that was the idea, is that I was sort of leaving my stamp on the movie and letting people, those 501 of them, know that I thought that this was, I was kind of recommending it. So it's nice that I've now got that information. But hey, if I had stamped 1,000 things, that PDF is, it's not quite the same as the service continuing. So I think that's goes with the territory, as we're going to see, I think, more and more.
Oh, yeah.
As apps crop up and shut down and get acquired,
exactly,
and run out of money and all sorts of stuff. But kind of disappointing to me.
I know. And I think we talked before when Oink was no longer available to users. And I think it's kind of a similar service. It fits into the same category. And I wonder if there were people who liked Oink and who used it all the time who then went over to Stamped. You know, they're looking for another place to be able to, like you said, be able to leave some type of review or put their stamp on something that they've experienced. So I don't know where you go now. I guess you're stuck with some of the traditional recommendations apps like Yelp. And as far as checking in, maybe you're stuck with GetGlue, which is a pretty cool service.
Yeah, exactly. I think, honestly, those are two larger companies that have been around a while that come to our mind, but there are so many more in each category. Well, I can't exactly think of, like, a true Yelp competitor. In fact, we have some Yelp news because they're always in the news, too. By the way, Amber, and I know we haven't gotten through all of our top news, but can I just say, this is the first week in a while where our top news was not dominated by Facebook.
I know, it's refreshing, isn't it, Sarah?
It really is.
It
and it's
really
not as if
is
there
refreshing.
Isn't stuff that happened in the Facebook world. I just feel like there's more important stories, more interesting stories for us and the Social Hour audience. So thank goodness. I was getting a little bit worried that we were going to have to call the Facebook Hour.
I know, it gets a little tiring, but I totally agree with you. Not a lot of Facebook news, a few tweaks here and there, but nothing as substantial as some of these other things. The next one is pretty big news. We usually have a Twitter piece in our top headlines, and this week is no exception. Twitter reportedly testing new like and star buttons. This is kind of interesting.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. If you read the Slash Gear article, which is where I originally saw this news, they kind of go, well, I mean, like and star sounds a lot like favorite to us. What's Twitter thinking? Of course, Twitter declines to comment. Looks like the Next Web, who originally had the story, tried to get in touch with Twitter, and they're just not talking about whatever they're doing. The reason that this story is out at all is that it looks as if this is something that is being tested, not even really beta tested, tested with a very small number of people. So it's sort of like, okay, well, are they testing it and they'll scrap it? Or are they testing it because this is the way of the future? Favorites have been around since, 2008. We all know how Twitter favorites work. I have not liked favorites for a long time, not because I don't use them. I actually do. But there's a problem with favorites to me is that when I favorite something, it's almost always a bookmark. I just want to I'm pinning it so that I can easily go back to it. Somebody will recommend an article for us to talk about on the social hour, or an iPad app that maybe I can use on iPad today, some sort of news story that we can use on TNT. So that's how I use it. But the person who shares the link with me probably gets that. But I feel that overall, when you favorite something, it's like, I love this. This is a favorite tweet of mine. And that's just simply not how I treat favorites. Because then I unfavorite them as soon as I'm done with the bookmark, you know, if I can use it in any of my shows. So I really like, if there was a like button, that could be when, you know, my friend Scott Simpson says something extremely funny, I can go ahead and like that. But I'm not really bookmarking it. Or I can star something that's a potential story for a show at Twit.
For later.
And that's not saying that I like it. That's just saying I'm starring this to come back to. So I
totally agree.
I like this.
I completely agree. I use it in exactly the same way. Sometimes if I'm going out to give a presentation, for example, I'll go through some of the items that I've favorited. And like you, those aren't necessarily things that I like or I think they're that exciting or innovative, but they're things that I want to include in some capacity in a presentation that I'm doing. So to have a like button, I think makes a lot of sense to be able to just kind of give a head nod. And the only way you can really do that on Twitter right now is if you retweet something. That's kind of saying you like something, but let's face it, you know, sometimes retweets get a little bit tiring. And you don't necessarily want to retweet everything that's in your stream because I'm sure that would frustrate people following you. So having like and favorites or some combination of that makes sense. So I think this could be a good little tweak or improvement to the Twitter experience overall.
I do too. Yeah, just give a little context. A little more context to those favorites. Are
just
you liking something? Are you starring it? I like that too. And I'm in general, I'm not so fond of Twitter expanding too much beyond what it was intended to be, because I feel like Twitter's experimenting with all sorts of stuff and sometimes it makes the service seem bloated or I don't know. It just takes me away from the experience that drew me to it in the first place. But this seems like a good distinction to add.
It's a tiny little change.
Yeah. Tiny little change might be for the right reason. All right. Well, we've got Yelp. We mentioned we had some Yelp news. Yelp has acquired a rival called, now I hope I am going to pronounce this right, Quype. It's Q-Y-P-E. If anybody in chat knows that I'm wrong, please phonetically try to spell it. Maybe Quype? Anyway, this is a Yelp rival. I'm not familiar with it, but if you live in Europe, you probably are. They're headquartered in Germany, operations across Europe. And this is one of these services that Yelp said, listen, instead of competing with each other in the European market, because Yelp definitely has a stronghold on the U.S. and I assume Canadian market. Amber, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's something that's more in use, than Yelp up in Canada. So North America for sure, but not necessarily in some European markets. So combined, it sounds like the two will have 93 million monthly unique users, 32 million reviews. Yelp CEO Jeremy Stoppelman wrote this in a blog post that this is all a very good thing, obviously. Yeah, it's pretty standard acquisition. Bigger company buys smaller company, so bigger company has a bigger footprint worldwide. But, I was never using Kite before. But if it makes Yelp better overseas, I'm really happy because I have used Yelp particularly in England and France in the past and with some success, but it never feels quite as fleshed out as it does in some of the places that I'm using it for around here, where there's just so many reviews and so much activity that it's really easy. Amber, have you found the same thing, that Yelp is just it's good in certain areas and a little
definitely
spotty in others?
I think at least my experience has been it's great in more urban areas. So that's where I tend to use it the most. I'm curious too with this particular acquisition. I'm curious how much money Yelp actually makes, because $50 million is a lot of money. I realize this service was very popular in Germany, but when I look at these numbers, I still can't help but feel that it's so inflated. And I wonder with Yelp, because they've made so many big moves lately, I guess they must be doing well. Who knows? But hopefully it's not like Groupon in the days where they were kind of acquiring every group buying site overseas, and then eventually turned out that they started to run into a little bit of trouble as far as the financial model and being able to recoup some of those costs.
Yeah, absolutely. We on TNT this morning, we talked about how Amazon had quite a loss in their last quarter because of Living Social, which is an Amazon property. I mean, I think they lost, I'm probably going to misquote this now, but it was something around $160 million just from Living Social itself. I mean, that was, it's like a huge drag on the company. So, so I you know, I like Yelp. I've always liked Yelp. I know some people in chat are saying, Yelp is all full of fake reviews and people who are complaining. And there is some noise, definitely. Clearly the people who work at Yelp are aware of that, you know, and trying to make it better. Providing incentives for people not to lie on Yelp reviews and that sort of thing. But as long as it's a service that I'm using, I do like the idea that it's more widespread, you know, in places that I might be in the future.
Well, I think it can only get better, right? If you have more people using it, and as much as people try to kind of game the system, I think with a larger user base, I think you'll be able to sift through some of the stuff that maybe doesn't seem that legitimate and be able to take little pieces. That's what I find with Yelp. I mean, the reality is, if I'm going to stay in a city and I'm checking out some of the restaurants that are there that are reviewed on Yelp, I'm not going to believe every single review 100%. But you get kind of the gist of the idea by reading through dozens of them, that if 90% of them are good, chances are the restaurant's okay. So I think that's how you have to take Yelp, you know, with a grain of salt here and there.
A little bit of a grain of salt, yeah. And I think if you're a professional Yelp troller, which sometimes I feel like I am because I read Yelp reviews a little bit for fun, you can tell the difference, you know. You can just tell. There's certain wording and certain like a type of excitement that you're just like, mm-mm, this isn't real. This is not a real thing that happened to you. I don't want to say that I sit around and read Yelp for fun because that makes me sound
sure,
really pathetic.
Sir.
But what happens is it's kind of like Wikipedia, right? You look up something and you're really there for a reason. And then you get sucked into a similar restaurant. And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm looking at cornbread restaurants in Alabama. And it's like, oh my God, but I'm really interested, but I'm never going to go, but I still want to see. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just have personal Yelp issues. So I'm glad that they're stronger.
I agree with you. It definitely makes sense. All right. So speaking of apps that are no longer around anymore, we have another one on our list of headlines this week. This is from a TechCrunch article talking about the app News.me that has recently been pulled from the App Store. Basically, they're saying the reason that they did this is they're a victim of Twitter's latest API guidelines, saying that they can no longer continue with the service. But also that we've talked about this before as well, that there will now be more of a focus for this company on Dig.
Yeah, this is BetaWorks who bought Dig, and it's the same company that launched News.me, which is a social news app that was awesome. Leo and I have talked about it. We always include News.me in our sort of social news app roundups because there are a lot of social news apps, but News.me worked really well. For example, it pulls from all of the people that I'm following on Twitter. And then if Amber, someone I follow on Twitter, shares some sort of a news story, then I'm getting these news sources it's pulling as if I'm almost reading a magazine. You know, you could even think of it like as a Flipboard type style, but it's actually not an RSS feed of any kind. This is recommendations from people that I care about and I respect. So that's the idea behind it. What BetaWorks is saying, and you mentioned this, Amber, is that Twitter changing its API for third parties makes it basically puts news.me in violation of partner terms. So they would have to change enough about the app so that they say, we just don't have the time or resources or, you know, engineering resources to make all these changes to make Twitter happy. So pretty much what we'd have to do is just strip Twitter out completely. And then that would just change our product and it's just not worth it, that sort of thing. But, and Leo and I talked about this a little bit before, I don't know. I feel like if News.me, which is an app, was really, really successful, wildly successful, they would probably put the effort into figuring out, okay, well, we've got to pivot a little bit. Maybe we don't want to be so dependent on Twitter, but we've got a good business model and we don't want to leave all these people in the dust. My guess is that they probably don't have a huge user base and figure Dig is pretty good. It's going pretty well. Why not just consolidate our efforts into one place? Because Dig is sort of social news. They're sort of doing the same thing, really. At the end of the day, it's about me discovering great news stories from around the web from people like you.
Yeah, and I would assume that Digg has more brand loyalty, perhaps, than News.me. I mean, it just seems like over the years, Digg at least has had a much higher profile within the social news space. So it makes sense to kind of want to do something with that brand and focus a little bit more on that. So I think this is kind of a smart move, as much as obviously we hate to see some of these apps die off, especially as we use them. And it's unfortunate with Twitter, with the restrictions with the API. But I think that for them to focus on Digg, it makes sense. You know, it seems like a good fit.
I agree. Well, speaking of a good fit, Pinterest is a good fit for popular website lists. It's finally cracked the top 50 most visited sites on the internet list.
Wow.
Now, you figure, I mean, number one is Google. And that's any Google property site, right? So that's sort of an aggregate. You got Google, you got Microsoft, you've got Yahoo, you've got Facebook. I mean, nothing really in the top 10, I think, is a real surprise to anybody.
Not a surprise, no.
Yeah, but then when you start getting into sort of like the 30s through the 50s, you know, 30 is Yelp.com, for example. You got Tumblr.com at 42, which experienced quite an outage today. And then Pinterest, right down at number 50, underneath Verizon Communications Corporation, because that's a site I like to go to a lot. Boy.
Who doesn't?
So much
there, really?
Fun. I mean, every morning without fail. You still got MySpace at number 47, although MySpace has been falling, you know, pretty dramatically. I think it was actually out and now it's back in because now people are sort of wondering
if it's
going to get a little bit cooler again. You've got Instagram at number 44, which you think, isn't Instagram have like 100 million users?
Mm.
Well, not. I mean, Instagram.com, there's not really much there, right? That's just a landing page that takes you to the app. So it does make sense that wouldn't be as wildly popular as page views for the app if you could translate, you know, page views for app.
Exactly.
You know, eyeballs for the app, I'm sure, through the roof. But you got Pinterest. Pinterest is the upwards, you know, it's climbing. I think probably, Amber, as long as people don't get sick of it. And Pinterest continues to capture the hearts and minds of creative people everywhere. In 6 months, maybe it'll be at number 30.
I wonder in some ways, I mean, just as you were talking, I was thinking about this list and how this over the years has become one of the most important lists, you know, the idea of the most popular websites out there. But then we see with the app marketplace, and I don't know how long apps are going to be around, but really for some apps, like you mentioned, Instagram, you know, it becomes more important that they've been downloaded millions and millions of times than perhaps this number because they don't have a solid or a really popular web presence. So, you know, we look at this list, but on the other hand, I wonder, you know, there's services out there in app form who wouldn't really be relevant for them to be on this list. So I guess good for Pinterest to crack the top 50. Like you said, I don't see them going down anytime soon. And no big surprises on this list, except for some of things like you mentioned, the Verizon Communications Corporation.
Right, yes. There's some wild cards in there. There's some sites where I just have no idea what that company is. But yes, top 50. Congratulations to you, Pinterest. A quick reminder that we record the Social Hour live on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Thanks to everybody who's watching us live right now, chatting with us in chat. Some of you who found Twit by accident Friday afternoon and say, "What show is this?" We're glad to have you too. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself. But if you can't watch us live, don't worry about it. You know where to go. Twit.tv/TSH. is our website. That's where you can catch up on past episodes. If we ever talk about a website or a service and you want to go back and you didn't jot it down while we were talking, or I don't know, I forgot to spell it out phonetically or something, you can get all that information there. And all of our episode pages have video in there too. So, you know, subscribing is probably the easiest way to make sure that you just get a new episode delivered to you by a stork. But if not... we've got all the video embedded on our episode pages. I don't know what is that? Somebody picked a very strange screenshot for last week's episode. Oh well, that's fine. That's all right. It just looks like it's part of the site, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a little confusing.
It's a little confusing.
A little weird.
You know, we'll probably pick people this week. All right. So before we get into Amber, we've got some tips. We've got some gadgets. We've got a couple of spotlights. Let's take a moment to thank SAP for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. What's really cool is that we know that we have people who watch and listen to the show who are working on, you know, social media brand managers for large corporations. We know this because tell us about it on Twitter and you email us and you have questions and comments, and that's awesome. The deal is that so much of what brands have to worry about is the feedback that they're getting on social media. Not just, oh, so-and-so said this about our company, that's interesting, but then how to act on it. So social media solutions from SAP is what actually can really help a large enterprise, you know, of all sorts of sizes, really, listen and engage with consumers, with your customers, with your people in a systematic way. Two components to this, why it works so well. The listening component searches the web in a really smart way to know what's being said about your brand. Are people happy? Are people mad about something that went on? What's the deal? Captures and reports these conversations with relevant terms, things that you can designate. You know, if somebody says something about our brand and it's got this term, I got to see it. I got to get this flagged. It surfaces things like sentiment. So it's not just that I mentioned SAP, for example, if I was talking about it, but how I feel about it using keywords and you know, there's sort of this big data type thing going on. Natural language processing, they call it NLP. This is really cool. It intelligently and automatically knows the difference between certain statements. You know, I could say something sarcastically, and it's totally different than if I'm saying something emphatically and I'm being, you know, really genuine about it. So SAP has kind of got that dialed in so that you don't actually have to be sitting there kind of trying to figure out, well, what does it mean? You know, they're doing a lot of that work behind the scenes for you. Then, of course, how to engage with all of this information that you're bringing in. And that's the engaging component. SAP Social Media Solutions helps you improve customer support because you can set rules about who's getting what message. Hey, you got 10 people on the team and they all do different things. There's a customer service question. Well, that's not really your department. You can make sure that that question gets routed to the appropriate person. So it really, really cuts down on a lot of the confusion that these departments can have, especially because in a lot of enterprises, social media is a new beast, right? We're trying to make the most sense of it as possible so everybody does the best job that they can and the customers are happier. If this all interests you, please go to sap.com/twit. There's a lot more information about SAP Social Media Solutions, what they can do for you, especially if you manage social media presence for large regional or national enterprises. Get in touch with them because they might make your life a lot easier. That's sap.com/twit. Okie doke, Amber. We got a social tip. This one's something that you uncovered, and I am not familiar with this, but it's apparently a Gmail app that's going to help me with my email life, which, quite frankly, is out of control.
Out of control. I totally agree with you. Now, we have talked before on the show about a little add-on or a tool, maybe it was an extension called Unsubscribe, and that this allowed you to do a similar thing with your Gmail account. So if you often got newsletters and things that you had subscribed to over time, and it just gets to be so much a part of your inbox, you know, I would say 25% of the stuff in my inbox are newsletters or services that I've signed up for that I really don't want anymore. Well, Unsubscribe helped you to get rid of all of those different newsletters by being able to unsubscribe in an easy way. Well, I think that they actually started charging for this service a little bit as part of a larger service. The good news is for people out there who want to use something like this, there's a tool out there called unroll.me. And this has been reviewed on a bunch of the top social media news sites that we review on a regular basis. It's just come out of beta, so anyone can have access to it completely for free. The idea being that once you sign up and you sign up using your Gmail account, it will give you what they call a roll-up. And the roll-up basically is an inventory of the amount of emails that you've received that fall into that category of newsletters or services or deals or offers. On the right-hand side of your page, beside that number we see there, that let's say you have 28 emails, is you have different categories like social, deals and rewards, shopping, news, tools, and the list goes on and on. Well, right within this little tool, you can actually unsubscribe to some of these things that you get a lot that you don't use anymore. Like let's say you no longer use Groupon, you can easily click and unsubscribe to Groupon right there within unroll.me. Over time, this should help to really get you back to a point where your inbox is more manageable and you don't have all of those unwanted emails within it.
I love this. Gosh, this is really
slick.
This is really familiar. I'm trying to figure out, gosh, you know, have I heard about this on another show, on Twit? What is the deal? Because I'm looking through this and it's like, gosh, it really seems that like I've seen this before, but I think I'm using it for the first time. I just signed up with my Gmail account. When I went ahead and signed up, because I have a million Gmail accounts because I've got Gmail accounts for all the shows at Twit and a variety of Google Apps accounts that I use too. So kind of a mess. But one of my Gmail accounts I use very often, and unroll.me has rolled up. This is actually kind of interesting. I mentioned paperless post earlier in the show because that's, you know, it's sort of like an Evite type of competitor. And I've got something in my roll up about a party that has since actually passed. It was a couple weeks ago. Which is sort of like, okay, well, that's not really a subscription, but that is an email. I kind of see why it would get flagged that I said, you know, I got the invitation. I said, yes, I'm going to go. And then you know how these services work. It's like they'll remind you a week out. Exactly. And then, you know, yeah. they'll say, like, are you going to RSVP? Maybe you didn't yet, type of a thing. And then they'll remind you the day before. So this probably gets flagged as something where it's like, looks like you've subscribed to this service. So, yeah, this is, I mean, if this is something that I want to unsubscribe to, I guess I could. That's a little bit silly because I'm probably never going to get an email about this party again because the party's already over. But I like the idea in general because there are, you know, we talked about Groupon stuff. There are certain daily or weekly digests that I'm part of. It's like, I don't really never want them, but they do end up looking like a bunch of junk collectively in my inbox. I know Jason Howell was bragging that he was down to 4 emails in his inbox, and it's like, how is that possible?
I don't even know how that's possible.
I know what declaring email bankruptcy is, where you just say they're going away and I'm starting over, whether I missed something great or not. But to get yourself down to 4 is, I don't know how that works. So
it'll build up again pretty quick, believe me. It usually does.
I need to unsubscribe. I need to use unroll.me a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when you go through the list, I'm just looking through the list of things now that I've subscribed to over time. Some of these things I subscribed to 2 years ago and I keep getting them. And I just, it adds to unwanted emails. So it's just a simple little service, I think, that can help you at least get rid of a certain percentage of the emails that you no longer use anymore. And I think that's a good thing. Now, Sarah, I added a new category because I like to surprise you every week. It's part of my job here on the Social Hour, I think.
Love it.
And I decided to add a category called Social Gadget because I'm seeing more and more gadgets out there that are great for people who are using social media, whether you're using it to just go out there and have fun or maybe you're building a brand online. There's lots of fun stuff. This one is a new web camera, and it's from Logitech. It's called the Broadcaster Wi-Fi camera. And the idea being that you can record within just one button straight to Ustream from this webcam. I've seen these out there before, but this one looks kind of cool. Just a slick, tiny little camera that you could use on its own, or you could use with your Mac, for example, as a second camera. So you could cut between two cameras if you were doing a broadcast on Ustream, or you could even use it with an iPhone or your iPad, and the quality would be a lot better than the existing camera on those devices.
Interesting. That's sort of where I get a little bit more interested, because you sort of go like, yeah, webcam, streaming live, I don't know. Sure. Does that sound all that interesting? But yeah, if you can use it with an existing device and the quality's better, then, you know, I'm already in. I mean, the front-facing cameras on my iPhone or my iPad are, you know, on a lot of people's smartphones, although I know that there's some phones that have way better cameras than the ones that I have access to on my iDevices. Even so, this is still yet a better camera, or potentially one. So it's cool. I mean, it's, what, let's see, Logitech Broadcaster, retail at a price.
It's pricey.
It's £160. So, yeah, that is pricey. I mean, we're at least $300 US.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks based on the site that I saw, just Logitech, it put it at a price of $199.99 Canadian. And since our dollars are very close to each other, I think it would be closer to $200.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. But it's still, I agree, it's pricey. You know, it comes in a carrying case that doubles as a stand, so you can stand the camera up. I think this is kind of perfect. You know, we do get those emails, like you mentioned, from people who are managing brands and they're marketing professionals, and they maybe want a fun way to broadcast a video. For their budgets, this may be something that's reasonable. It's not for everyone, but I do like the idea.
Yeah, I do too. And the whole cutting between two different cameras, you know, if you've got one already and this can be a supplemental, or even sort of the better one. I mean, that really counts for a lot. I mean, we work in production, so we know how important it is to give variety. Yeah, I mean, even on this show, it's like we're cutting between all sorts of cameras all the time. But yeah, this is pretty cool, especially if you've got existing devices. You know you're going to be streaming, whether it's we're looking at a video now of somebody giving some sort of, you know, I don't know, guitar tutorial or whatever, or if it's something that you're doing within a business, or maybe it's just for personal use. It's cool, and I'm glad to hear that it's not too expensive. $200 seems a little bit more reasonable for something from Logitech.
Yeah, and I'm sure that price will come down, and there'll be other competition in this space. But it's one option out there as far as a social media gadget. Now, Sarah, I know we have two spotlights this week. I have to say, I love the spotlight that you've added. I have not heard of that. I'll jump in with mine first, and this one is called Change Makers. I first found this on Fast Company. It's a really simple site. I just thought it was fun because I like reading quotes. I mean, I know a lot of people overshare quotes on Twitter and Facebook and other sites, but this service is all about sharing inspirational quotes or funny quotes. Changemakers.com. You can sign in using a Twitter account or Facebook account. You can add your own quotes, things that you like that you want to share, or you can just go into discover mode on Changemakers and you can read some quotes that have already been added in there. There are lots of them to pick from designers, engineers, entrepreneurs, geeks, and the list of people goes on and on. So I just think it's a fun way to take something that's so popular on the internet and put it into one overall service.
Well, Amber, I thought I would put your idea to the test. So I went ahead and made a Changemakers account. So in my account here, I have created my own background. It's a picture of my cat. Ooh. I know everyone's pretty surprised by this, but every so often I like to remind people that I am a cat owner. So on the front page, it's kind of funny. This is a quote from these artists that happen to be they have an album that's on audio right now that I'm listening to all the time.
Wow.
So this quote is featured, right? This is the first thing I saw when I logged in. I logged in through Facebook. Change the game. Don't let the game change you. So, okay. If I go ahead and click into that, this is like the permalink of this quote, rather. I mean, it's very Twitter-like, right? I mean, it's almost like,
yes,
I'm looking at the tweet page, but it's a quote rather than a tweet. At this point, I could say, I would like to collect this. This is a quote that I want to come back to. I can go ahead and love it. So sure, I'll love it. It says, I'm loving it. If I decide, nah, you know what, that was a mistake, I say, unlove it. Gives me nah as an option. Or then I can go ahead and share. Now, I can share via Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, or email. Pinterest was an option when I signed up. Do you want to connect Changemakers to your Pinterest account? So I said yes. There are a few more. I think I could connect via LinkedIn and something else. So there are a lot of places that I could use to share my quotes. And if you go to my little page, I went ahead and said, okay, well, what happens if I make a quote that's really awesome? I created this quote myself, came straight from the heart. Get more sleep, it will help. Because that's what I always tell myself before I go to bed when I feel like just staying up and watching episodes of The Wire. So at this point, yeah, Amber, if you were following me, I guess this would show up on your front page and then you could decide to do with it whatever you wanted. And here's the only thing that's a little bit confusing to me is, okay, so I just started, I've only made one quote. If I go to the home page, you now see that, okay, I've got my quote here, and then I've got Matthias Wagner, who has loved my quote. Thank you so much. You're probably watching the show right now, but thank you. I appreciate that. So I guess it's a little bit more of a dashboard or something, because I'm seeing activity. I'm not really sure where my original quote is. Maybe I don't see that, or maybe I'm missing something.
No, you're not. I think they need some help on the navigation side. I'm not going to lie about that. I had a similar experience. All I wanted to do was discover new quotes, and even though it says discover at the top, it really wasn't that obvious when I first signed up. So I think from a user experience standpoint, they need a little bit of work. They're obviously very visual, which I do like, because many times you read quotes on the internet and it's all text-based, and we know we're a visual society. So it's nice to see these just a little more visual, but I think they need some way to be able to easily click and create your own quote or discover quotes, just beef up the navigation as far as being part of the site. Because even on my homepage now, I see new Changemaker Sarah Lane, and I can see the quote that you added. But from this home screen, there's not much I can do except to really kind of search for quotes. I guess I can add a quote by one of these big boxes, but it's a little boxy and chunky. But nonetheless, I still think it's different. It's kind of fun.
Mike Tyson. Hey, he's quotable dude. You know, the only thing I think of, Amber, when I'm kind of looking through this, and I agree with you, this is this is really nicely designed. Mike Tyson apparently has all sorts of quotes, and he has an account on Changemakers. So there you go. That's pretty cool. well, okay. All right. He's got kind of some... He's got some crazy quotes. I don't even know what to think about some of the stuff. But okay, so I've got a couple people I can think of who are on Twitter, and all they really tweet is inspirational quotes. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're not attributing them to other people. They'll say like blah 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 Plato or Mother Teresa or that sort of thing. But I just blow past that stuff because it's like it's not actually an update on what a friend of mine is doing or, you know, it's a little bit of it's abstract stuff. And I don't know. There are probably people who just love that stuff. But in general, I'm like, it doesn't really apply to anything that's actually happening for, you know, on a regular basis. So this would be a great place for them. But are we all going to be going there that much to read other people's quotes? And then there's sort of the, I don't know, I guess I'd be a little bit worried that if I was actually sharing quotes that originated with me that I don't know, I was really proud of or, you know, I really wanted to share with people and then that my, the attribution got stripped out, you know, and somehow like maybe I see something that I said as a quote and somebody found it here and now they're using it and there's a little bit of like, hey, that's mine. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking the fun of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like it. And this, again, it probably is more selfish for me because I do a lot of speaking and I create a lot of presentations. And sometimes I like to put quotes in presentations because it can come across well if you have something that just, you know, is bold and inspires people. And the way that I can sift through the different categories on the site is fun because it's better than what I would normally do, which is to literally go to Google and search quotes on a certain topic. And then you get just a mishmash of junk. So I do like that there just is a site dedicated for this. I don't think you're going to use it every day, but if you're looking for a cool quote for a presentation, or if you're a student and you want to put something fun in there, something that, you know, just adds a bit to some type of report that you're doing and you want to credit someone, then at least you have some type of official database to go to.
Yeah.
That's where I would see it.
Yeah, why not? Hey, if we're going to collect quotes, this is a pretty nice place. By the way, that's Changemakers without that second E.
Of course, Sarah.
worth it, because if you go to Changemakers... So it's maker. It's change, MAKRS.com. Figure that's probably something that's going to confuse a lot of people otherwise. It seems like it's been written up by a bunch of folks. So, yeah, that's great. I hadn't heard about this before, Amber, so thank you for...
It's a fun one.
For
this next one you're
going to
use, though. Right, Sarah? This next thing.
Totally.
You may not use quotes, but you are going to be using the service a lot to come visit me, I hope.
Because you know how I like to fly in style, Amber? I am a private jet kind of a person. You know,
I can tell.
I figure you can. I mean, I like extreme comfort. I don't want to be in coach. You know, first class, quite frankly, isn't good enough either because you've got flight delays. You got to go through security with everybody else. It's too much for me. Now, I'm completely lying. I'm not even a business class kind of a person. I'm coach all the way, and I'm usually in a middle seat. But if I was a little bit more of a high roller, then I'd be really interested in a new service called blackjet.com. This is a real thing. I am not kidding. This is from the people who brought you Uber, formerly Uber Car, was it called Uber Car or Uber Taxi? I think it was Uber Car. Which is, of course, the service that helps you find a car that's a taxi alternative where you've got a smartphone app and you go ahead and say where you are and a car comes and you pay it all digitally and, you know, it's all good. This is the same idea to buy yourself a seat on somebody else's private jet. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Or ma'am.
Wow.
I am not kidding. Now, I mean, I'm laughing because I just think, I mean, what? Really? Now, this is totally in private beta. I don't even know if it's beta. I mean, if you go to blackjet.com, you get kind of a neat logo, and then it says, hey, do you have an invite code? Which I do not. So I can't know a whole lot more about it. But this is a real thing. I actually found out the news from All Things D. They had a write-up about exactly what they're thinking behind BlackJet and that it's actually a more affordable deal for a lot of people than you might think. Because this is, you know, if you don't have a private jet, I mean, if you're not private jet status, then you're just, you know, you're far. You're far from that. Very, very few of us would ever be in that situation.
I know.
But maybe. You know,
No, I was thinking that this kind of falls into the category for me of rich kids on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
Yes.
The rich kids on Instagram. Okay, so let me, I'm looking through, because I'm trying to get some numbers here, right? I mean, it's hard for me to even get past just sort of chuckling about it, because I think, yeah, wouldn't that be nice to just buy myself a seat on someone's private jet? Sure. So users will pay a membership fee, $2,000 just to start, and then $950 for each short flight. I don't know what a short flight is, but I know that $3,500 will buy you a cross-country flight. Services invite only to start, which makes a lot of sense because, I mean, how many people are really going to be able to take advantage of this? So Garrett Camp, who's the founder of StumbleUpon, actually, and is one of the founders of Uber, or certainly on their board, says, in the U.S., there are something like 4,000 business jets that seat 6 to 12 people. There are 4,000 commercial planes holding 100 people or more. But the private jets are used one-tenth as often and charge $20,000 to fly coast to coast. So it's sort of like a let's carpool on the private jet because we already have more disposable income than we really need. So we, like, why are we really flying commercially if we're in that upper status of flyers? There aren't that many of those people. But for those people, why not make it make a little bit more sense, right? I think they're at their, Amber, I don't know if you do enough flying to have, you know, premier status on certain airlines. But, you know, I've got friends who they're not, you know, it's not that they're rolling in dough, but they fly so much for work that they get periodic first class upgrades. But if first class is full, then your upgrade doesn't help. So maybe there's a little bit of that, like offload the people who don't really need to be on this plane. And then the commercial jets will fill up a little bit more reasonably. I don't know. I'm still trying to make sense of how this business model is actually going to work.
I just wonder, though, because I would think if you're someone who can afford to fly on a private jet, one of the reasons that you love it is not just the speed and efficiency of getting from point to point, but also the fact that you don't need to interact with strangers and be sitting beside someone you don't know who maybe isn't in the same class as you. So I wonder how they would feel about this idea. I guess you would have to participate in the program to say it was okay. But I don't know. Interesting. If anyone who's listening or watching takes a flight on one of these planes, please take pictures and let us know.
Exactly. Yes. Because we're probably not going to be on a private jet anytime soon. But hey, maybe the prices will come down. As someone mentions in chat, hey, this is simple. They're selling excess capacity on private jets. It's not rocket science. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's just a matter of time, Amber. Prices will come down across the board and we won't have to be flying on commercial jets where we hear about the ceiling falling on people in the back of the plane. One can hope.
Good.
Anyway,
good point, Sarah.
Hey, before we get to some of our viewer feedback of the week, we want to thank Ford. Ford is just a perfect match made in heaven for TWIT because we love technology. We love technology in all of its forms, and we especially like the idea of some of our favorite technology coming into vehicles of the future. And really, you know, when it comes to Ford, of the present. Ford's Sync versatile entertainment features are some of my absolute favorites because they take advantage of what I'm already doing, but in an onboard way on a Ford car. So let's say I've got a great music collection, right? While I'm in the car, I'm browsing the music collection by genre, album, artist, playlist. This is all voice commands, by the way. So that's something to keep in mind. It's not like, oh, I've got this fancy Star Trek type dashboard and I've got to, you know, be paying a lot of attention to it. This is all stuff that I can just tell what to do while I'm looking at the road and driving very, very safely. With playlists, you've got voice activated control of your entire media player. So you can play music you're in the mood for. You can say, okay, you know, I've got this rock station going on. Play something similar to this. So it's very Pandora-like. You can listen to your entertainment on pretty much any device. So this is voice-controlled music from your smartphone. This is via Bluetooth streaming, via a USB drive. If you've got a lot of music on a drive, that's cool too. An MP3 player, iPod, iPad. It's very, very compatible. You've also got something known as iTunes tagging, and this is the best. I've got this sort of crappy radio in my current car. That's, you know, I'm listening to terrestrial radio stations. And, you know, you've got sort of these It's like a scrolling information of what song I'm listening to. And half the time, that information isn't even right, or you can't really read it. And the whole thing seems a little dangerous to me, frankly. This is great. So if you're listening to a song with Sync, it lets you tag a song that you like at the time and then transfer that information to your iPod and then purchase the song from iTunes at a later time, you know, when you're out of the car and when you want to think about it again. So great little bookmarking system for a song. And Ford is offering Sync on every 2012 and 2013 Ford vehicle sold in the US of A, including the 2012 Ford Focus. So this is a reality, people. This is happening, and it is cool. The friends I have who use Sync brag about it a lot, and I say, yeah, I know all about Sync. I'm going to get there one day. Just, you know, give me a minute. But Sync is really cool. Ford.com/technology is the place for you to go to learn a lot more about what Ford is doing and how they're bringing their cars into El Futuro. That's the future in Espanol. All right, Amber, should we get to some of our feedback of the week?
Yeah, let's do it. So first up, we have Rapid Andy, who's found a potential issue with Instagram matching usernames to usernames on Twitter. And it looks like this is a video, Sarah.
It is a video. Yeah, this is in response to, we had mentioned that Instagram was making it a little bit easier for people who have Twitter usernames and Instagram usernames that don't match each other to make a little bit of sense of it so that there's not a confusion or posting or tagging the wrong person in posts. But there is a potential issue with this workaround.
Hey, Amber and Sarah, Rapid Andy here. Just a quick note on last week's news that when you now tweet out of Instagram, Instagram will actually change your username so that when it gets to Twitter, it is your actual Twitter handle, you know, to avoid confusion. Although I was slightly confused this week when I got a tweet from Gemma saying that she was having fun on the pub, on my pub crawl slash treasure hunt slash photo walk. Whereas actually, if you look at the original, it was actually directed at IGS London. And because at IGS London is something I've logged into and lots of other people have, and it's a community group, it's kind of latched onto my Twitter handle for some reason. So if you do run a group account, then make sure that your Twitter credentials are correct. Maybe just turn them off and then turn them back on again. Otherwise, you know, you might be, say, running a restaurant and a customer comes in and takes an Instagram photo and says, I'm having a great time at the fish restaurant. But by the time it's reached Twitter, it's I'm having a great time at the washing up boy. So, yeah, just go in and make sure that your Twitter and your Twitter matches on your Instagram.
Very good tip.
Very good.
Rapid Andy. And that must have been very strange for him to say, I'm not on a pub crawl. What is that all about? IGers is Instagrammers. There's a lot of cities that have. It took me a while, Amber. This is just sort of a side note. I don't know if there's a lot in Toronto, but there are people that I follow on Instagram who are always tagging thing. I was reading it as Igers SF. What is Igers SF? And I realized it's IGers SF because we're like the Instagram group type of thing. Anyway, but this now that's a good call. If you see anything that's kind of weird, maybe your Twitter credentials are somehow associated with an account that they shouldn't be. So yeah, you can sort of wipe it clean and start fresh.
I feel like we have a correspondent in Andy. You know, I love how much he's interacting with the show. So it's so much fun to get videos and tips and stuff like that that we have not necessarily thought of or run across. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always good. We also have an email, and this one is from Christopher Battles. It says, the other day I heard about Social Me Over. Is that right? Social Me Over, and was curious if you had reviewed it before. It's for Facebook and analyzes you with graphics about your word usage and posts and friends. I really enjoyed its appearance and the information it showed me. Now, Sarah, I haven't heard of this before. I was just trying to do a Google search on it, but I guess it is the site Zeebly.com? Is that?
Yeah. So I had, by the way, I think that email just had the word over in it. So sorry about that. Yeah, it's Social Me. And you can find it. It is a service that a company called Zeebly put together. So if you go to Zeebly.com, and you've got to log in with your own credentials. In my case, Jason, if I've got my Social Me that I already went ahead and let Zeebly crunch my numbers, as it were, on my Facebook page. This is one of these things, Amber, we've talked about this stuff in the past, where it gives you a little bit of a sense of, okay, how do you stack up socially? This is, you know, my my Facebook profile picture right now. So this is okay. This is my current picture. Social Me says, wow, you use Facebook a ton. You like to talk about mobile, your community, and technology. You're extroverted and spontaneous. You post statuses to Facebook most often at night. Wow. Okay. Using Facebook.com, which is true. I rarely ever do it via mobile. Although I use the mobile version of Facebook. I don't do a lot of updates on Facebook. So it says, and this is kind of, you know, this is all sort of a very visual way to break down who I am and my activity. I have 1,450 statuses. I've got 773 friends. Let's see. I post from Facebook.com. 1% come from Path. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I post most often at night. Here's a breakdown of the things that I talk about. I've got beverages coming in at 11%. I think that's probably wine. I don't really think I ever talk about any kind of beverage besides wine, but okay, whatever. And then my post most often, this is kind of cool, show that I'm much more excited than not, that I'm a loving person, wonderful. I'm slightly humorous. Doesn't sound like I do a lot of teaching, though, so this is sort of where I'm in the red. I don't ask a lot of questions. So that's sort of something that maybe that doesn't matter at all to you, but I wouldn't want to actually come across as someone on social that's just spewing out, you know, this is what I did. Look at my stuff. Here's a link that I'm sharing. You know, you do, that is kind of interesting to me that I'm not really throwing out a lot of questions to people, because especially for something like the Social Hour, Amber, I feel like I should be asking a lot of questions, you know, and getting a lot of answers back. So that's actually kind of interesting. That's a little good stat for me to keep in mind. And the list goes on. I will say that once you get down to about, I think here where we see the language area, Social Me had said at this point, hey, Sarah, if you want to see the rest of your breakdown, why don't you share this on Facebook with your friends? And we'll sort of unlock the rest of this free service. And I initially went, I don't want to talk about it on the show then, because that's lame. You know, it's making me spam my friends with, you know, something that I'm sort of forced to. But I found a workaround, and I know this is not what Social Me wants me to do. But it says, okay, well, and if I say, okay, go ahead and share with my friends, then I get the Facebook dialog box where it's like, it's the link to my profile, and then I'm supposed to say something and post it on my wall. But at that point, I can say, because it's public by default, a public post, you know, you get a little drop-down menu. Whenever you want to share something, I'll just show you on Facebook to make sure that everyone understands exactly what I'm talking about. If I want to update something, if I, you know, hi, hey. Now, it's public by default, but I can say, well, I don't want to share that with just everybody because that's a very important update. I only want to share it with my friends. Mm-hmm. Or I only want to share it with myself. This is something that no one will see but me. So when I post it, it's actually not going anywhere. So here's my post that only me, and here's my Social Me post from an hour ago that was shared with only me. So I didn't actually feel like I had to bother anybody, and I got the rest of Social Me's services unlocked. Now, again, I know that that's not what their intention is, but that's something to keep in mind. You can do that.
That's a great tip, Sarah.
A little bit of a hack.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I think I love getting data around anything that I'm doing with social sites. I think it just helps you kind of figure out what you should be doing more of and what you should maybe be doing less of. So that seems like a really awesome tip.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, it's a good tip. And Social Media was actually pretty fun. I mean, I could go on and on about all the things that I found out about myself, but it's a lot less interesting to you. I think your own habits are most interesting. Mm-hmm. So again, go to Zeebly.com, and you can get started from there. And if you don't want to share with your friends, do what I did, and you don't have to bother anybody about it. Okay, so we've got Amber's Rad or Fad coming up. Before we get to the end of the show, we've still got more in the show. But quick reminder, we do like to hear from you, and we want to remind you how you can get a hold of us. You can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail. The number is 2626-SOCIAL. That's 2626-SOCIAL, or like Rapid Andy did, which was awesome, by the way. It's so fun to see you guys, and it's just cool. You can record a video. You can upload it somewhere. What he did was he just sent us the link to the YouTube video that he had already posted online. So it's very easy for us to run into the show with questions or comments or ideas or anything, really. You know, it's, if you think it's good for the show, we would love to see it, and we will incorporate as much of your feedback as we can into future episodes. All right, before we get to Amber's Rad or Fad, we want to thank Squarespace. They are our final, but last but not least, sponsor on this episode. It's kind of a jam-packed episode, isn't it? Squarespace, we talk about a lot because they actually have a brand new content management system, Squarespace 6. You've probably heard it around these parts on Twit before, but this is just a reminder that if you are looking for the best way to create a website, a blog, really a mobile presence, this is the way to do it. Online portfolio building can be done with Squarespace 6, and it will be beautiful. It's easy to use. They've got a really nice video, too. If you haven't watched the video before, it's actually very, very descriptive. Easy to use, beautiful design, and really good customer support. In fact, I even saw stamped logo in there. Stamped apparently was using Squarespace to build their site before they were acquired by Yahoo. They're probably still hosted by Squarespace. What's neat is that new templates with Squarespace 6 really makes use of mobile. We all know that people are accessing your stuff via mobile. I mean, the numbers are just going through the roof. And you can't have a website that looks beautiful on someone's 27-inch monitor but does not look beautiful on their smartphone or even their tablet. So what Squarespace does is it creates 7 different versions of the same website so that no matter how anybody is accessing your site, it will look amazing. You can import content from a variety of social networks, you know, Instagram photos, Tumblr posts, all sorts of stuff like that. You've got all sorts of easy access to update your website with all sorts of things. You know, you've got video, you've got a video podcast, and you want a really good way to just display new episodes. You're a straight up blogger. You've got paragraphs that you want to share on a regular basis. You've got photos. You want to sell stuff. I mean, there are all sorts of templates from Squarespace that will work for you. It's really, it's amazing what you can do with Squarespace. And it's all just the same site. You know, you put together a site and it's like, they're all, one is so different from the next, but it's all the same service under the hood. When I mentioned customer support, that's really important. I mean, Squarespace, when Squarespace hosts your site, and they and provide hosting too, so this is a one-stop shop, you know. You get a nice template, you make a beautiful site, you have it hosted with Squarespace. Well, what if you've got a question or a problem? Customer support is top-notch. I use Squarespace. I've used them for years, and I've always been able to work through problems easily and efficiently with customer service reps. They get back to me really quick. And there's a great little support section on the web that I use regularly. And I also am able to update my site via mobile, too. I mean, the iPad app, for example, on Squarespace is great. I can go ahead and make sure that my comments are, I get junk out of there. If there's comments that I don't like or comments that are still awaiting approval, all that good stuff. You've really got to go to squarespace.com, get a sense of the over 50 new and improved features and the beautiful templates. That's what drew me in. But if you're not any sort of a whiz as far as building a website goes, this is what Squarespace is really designed for. It's people who either don't know how or they don't want to have to deal with all that stuff under the hood. It's all just there and it looks beautiful. Here's what you do if you want to try out Squarespace. Sign up for a free account. You don't need a credit card. Just try it out. Start building your website. And then if you decide, yeah, this is the thing for me, I want to purchase, use the offer code SOCIALHOUR10. That's all one word, SOCIALHOUR10, the number 10. And you will get 10% off your first purchase on a new account. That's monthly and annual plans because you can choose either, whatever works for you. Although if you go with annual plans, you get free domain registration too. That's another thing Squarespace does. If everything I already said wasn't enough, they've also got free domain registration if you go annual. That's squarespace.com, and that offer code again is SOCIALHOUR10. And thanks to Squarespace, as always, for being our BFF on the show. Or one of three, anyway. Okay, Amber, it's time for your rad or fad, and I'm kind of excited about this because I already have an opinion.
Oh, good. Opinion. So this is fun. So this is a rad or fad from one of our listeners, from Mike Tabbert, who is a very active participant when we're doing the show. And he sent us a link to a service called Printstagram. And I think we've reviewed services like this before. So the idea that you can print images from your Instagram feed and turn them into something like a poster, for example. What I think Printstagram Prinstagram does really well is that it's not just about posters. They do other things. And one thing in particular that he wanted to mention was this idea of a little calendar. So you can create a calendar out of your Instagram pictures. So you can have the date on each different image and you can tear off those pages and you can post them on the wall if you want or write a note on them so you're able to keep them. But you can have up to 365 different images that you've taken on Instagram and get this calendar book. Plus there are a bunch of other things. So a couple things that I also liked on the site, Sarah, I don't know if you had a chance to check out the Instagram stickers, which I think are super cute. And there are a few other things as well.
I love Prinstagram, Amber. And in fact, I have a poster framed in my living room.
Oh.
Yes, I do. Prinstagram has, it's like you said, it has a bunch of different services. And I actually think that this is, we're starting to get into, I know it's early, but we're starting to get into the time of year where people want good gift ideas.
Oh, totally. Yes.
This is that. Prinstagram. Yes. By the way, it's Prinstagram with a dot AM at the end. It's very clever. They've got all sorts of options for what to do with these Instagram photos. And there are, I think one of the biggest gripes I have with Instagram, well, one of the biggest gripes, I don't really have that many gripes, but I love Instagram, but sometimes I take a photo and I mean, I love this photo. I am really proud of it. Or, you know, it's this, you know, really beautiful picture of somebody I love or whatever. And there it is on Instagram, but I want to look at it when I walk by, you know, a certain wall in my house and see it all the time. I don't want to have to open it up on Instagram or even find the original picture in my camera roll. So, yeah, I went ahead and made a poster. I picked 50 Instagram pictures that I liked, and it turned out really well. Of course, the framing is pretty expensive, but the Prinstagram itself was not. And you don't have to frame it. I don't know. I tried to be fancy. And but they have all sorts of other options. And I think, at least on the photo paper that my poster came on, it was really high quality. It actually looked nicer than I thought it would. I had a nice matte. I don't remember if I had glossy or matte to choose from, but I definitely chose matte because I didn't want it to be too reflective. And it's great. So I really recommend this to anybody who's got more than 100 photos on Instagram and is really using it, you know, in an artsy way where this is the sort of stuff that you might think about framing or you might be able to put into a photo book and give to somebody. Or the calendar thing, Amber, that's cool too.
It's fun. Yeah, I think you're totally bang on with the gift ideas. Thank you so much for Mike for sending this to us, because I can think of a dozen people at least who I could give something to from this different service. So I absolutely love it. I think it's totally rad. There's a lot you can do with it. And I love all of the different options of being able to print your images that you've created on Instagram in a bunch of different ways. So it's a good, big fat rad for this week.
Yeah, me too. Rad for me. I mean, I could probably get done with a majority of my holiday shopping by giving somebody a cool calendar for 2013 based on Instagram photos, you know, and make sure that they're in some of them. Or, I mean, that is what a personal gift. And, you know, again, not that
gift,
expensive.
Yeah. And like you said, being able to do something with those Instagram photos, because they just sit there within your feed or on your phone, and they're really not as shareable as you'd like them to be. So I think printing them and doing something personal like this is fantastic.
Me too. Hint,
anyone who knows me who is watching.
Right. Amber wants a Prinstagram calendar. Pass it on.
No, just any of them. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, this is great. That's a good one. Good call, Mike Tabbert.
Thanks, Mike.
And Mike, let's just say thanks to Mike, because he is one of, I mean, we don't always feature everything that Mike sends in to us, because we try to, you know, feature a well-rounded number of you. But Mike faithfully sends us links and ideas on Twitter and our email address all the time. So, Mike, thank you. We appreciate you. You're awesome, dude.
Yes, thank you so much. That's great. And we're also very open to rad or fat ideas from any of our listeners, our viewers. So don't be shy if you find something that's cool or not so cool and you want to share it with us.
Agreed. Yes, don't be shy. That's our motto. We're social after all. Okay, we've come to the end of our hour. In fact, we've gone slightly past it. A reminder to everybody that we do record the show Fridays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. It's super fun to have everybody who follows along and chats with us live. But if you miss a show, you know where to go, twit.tv/TSH, to catch up with us. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us everywhere. It's hard to get away from us. It's just hard to get away from us. Until next week, which will then be 1 week from the week that I get to meet Amber.
Yes.
From Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next week.